We're going to talk about Jesus being the light of the world this morning. And we want everybody to come and grab your Bibles. We're going to go to the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12. If you guys have it in your Bibles, go there. If you're just tuning in, please share this with the friends, with your friends and start a watch party, because this is a message that is very needful in this hour. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Everybody ready? Say amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, would you come and touch us, Lord God, in a way, God, that we're so needful, Lord Jesus. Let people know that they've been to the house of God, not just to worship or give, Father God, or pray or receive, but Jesus, they've heard truth. And God, let truth set every man free. And everybody said, amen and amen. John 8:12. It says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And turn in your Bibles to Matthew 5, verse 13. I want to read three verses there. Matthew 5, verse 13. I'm going to need a tissue already. There we go. I got one right here. Praise God. You ready for Jesus' words? Say amen. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out or to be trodden under the foot of men. Some great commentary says, ye are the salt of the earth. It means salt renders food pleasant to all the cooks in this room. Makes it palatable. Salt preserves from putrefaction. Everybody say that. Salt preserves from putrefaction. So Christians, by their lives and by the instruction that are given to them by this word, are to keep the world from entire moral corruption. Because without the church or Jesus being the light, we would be in total darkness. Amen? Jesus is the light of the world. So without Christ indwelling you, there would be total darkness around you 24/7 all the time. Is that correct? It is. So the Christians in this life and you being the temple of the Holy Ghost is within you, within your body, and you, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit. You have the indwelling Jesus Christ the moment you get born in and walk through that door. Amen? Then you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You may or may not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Then you enter into the Holy of Holies. Amen? The glory of God is all around, all about, and it's the presence of the Almighty God. And in that place is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. He sits upon the throne. Hallelujah. And he beseeches us to come in and to take what we need and to ask and to obtain, is the word, whatever we need in this time of need. Hallelujah. We get to come and petition him. We get to bring prayers to him. And hallelujah, it says in verse 14, my text, ye are, ye now. He said, I am. But now he says, ye are the what? You are the light of the world. You, every single one of you guys, is the light of the world. When you come together, it's a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. It just cannot be hid. It cannot be hid because there's so much light. There's so much of a concentration of illumination. There's so much. It's what you preached this morning, friend. Jesus being the light of the world. He brings this light to us. And we begin to shine like a candle in the darkness, and we become torches, so to speak, that go everywhere. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light. Everybody say, gives light. Unto all that are in the house. Amen? Therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How many want to bring glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Did you know he gets glory by how you burn for God? Isn't that something? Let your light so shine. So Jesus makes this massive boast in Scripture. And I grew up with people that were boastful. I happen to like boastful people like Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest in the world, you know. He'd be fighting Then there was Charles Barkley. He had a really big mouth. Amen. Remember Charles Barkley? Some of you guys are, you know, he was just taunting everybody. Then there was a guy named Neon Deion Sanders. Remember him? 21. Man, he was something. He was called Prime Time. And he would score a touchdown, and he'd do this little, he'd start this little dance. And he was just the fastest guy in the NFL, and nobody could touch him. I always wanted to be fast. I never was. Dan was a little bit faster than I was. But Matt was probably faster than us all. Right, Matt? Amen. You're getting an amen from the family this morning. Praise God. Praise God. But just think about this. Has anybody ever topped this statement? I am the light of the world. You ever seen anybody that can top that statement? I'm the light of the world. Oh, geez. That's a boast if I've ever heard one. Nobody, not anybody, can make that statement. Nobody but the Son of God. Amen. Nobody on earth could make a statement like that. But then he turns around on us and he says, now you, ye are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hid. You are the lights in this world. Amen. Born and birthed to shine. Give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine that your works would glorify your Father which is in heaven. Bring glory to the King of Kings by you walking in this power. Isn't that a good word this morning? Hallelujah. Now he that dwelleth with you shall be in you is what the Bible said. And so this Jesus came to indwell you and to light you up inside. Amen. I want you guys to know that God can still touch this world. He went into a total dark place called Nineveh, and he just got a hold of a man named Jonah, and if he could get Jonah turned around, he could touch Nineveh, and Nineveh was 600,000 people, amen? And when he got and he preached the gospel of repentance, the gospel unto that city, they were totally pagan, but they began to fast their dogs and their cats and their camels and everything else, and they began to seek the face of God, and God turned Nineveh and the Ninevites around and gave them grace, amen? God raise up a Jonah in this hour, amen, to preach the gospel of the Lord to this lost and dying nation. About 1904, there was another man. His name was Evan Roberts in Wales. He began to preach in 1904, and there was a move of God by the Holy Spirit that touched the whole area of Wales and England and the UK and right around where Sarah was at. And in this century, think about it. I'm not talking about a long time ago. I'm talking about in the last 120 years, right? Yeah. And guess what? 100,000 people came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that moment, crime stopped. Bars closed. Murder quit. People began to love one another. As Christ changed the whole society, there was no need for police officers. There was no need for pubs. There was no need for crime. There was no crime happening at this time. And it changed the whole atmosphere. It changed the communities. It turned everything around. When the Holy Spirit fell, righteousness and glory fell on the people and they were changed. Amen? In the moment. Hallelujah. And there was power that was loosed. There was another in the 1950s in the Hebrides, islands of Lewis, where the Holy Spirit came down in a cloud and touched a whole island. During the revivals of Duncan Campbell. Imagine the Holy Spirit just came down and it saturated this island. And it said 10,000 people of 13,000 people on the island get radically born again. Started to seek God, prayer meetings, and time literally stopped and God just fell upon that place, Blake. You guys, I'm talking about recent revivals and I'm talking about real revivals that happened as God came down. Amen. But I want to tell you that it can still happen today. Why couldn't it happen today if it could happen 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 6,000 years ago? Why can't it happen today? Amen? There's nobody greater than Jesus, and Jesus is still on the throne. Amen? We have an advocate with the Father. Amen? In Matthew 4:16, it says, "And the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Light is sprung up. I want to focus on this light, Jesus being the light of the world today. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So the answer to the world's problems, the answer to the high school in which you go to, Caleb, The answer to all your friends is that they find Jesus Christ before it's too late. Amen. That they come to know Jesus and that their everlasting soul would find the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ in us then becomes the ultimate solution, Jenny, to your college campus. Christ in you is the bridge for you to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to go there and to begin to transform hearts and lives as you begin to pray and ask for divine opportunities. God's going to give you those. Amen? He's going to. And you're not alone because in Acts 1:8, go there if you can. Acts 1:8. And you guys should be able to help me with this scripture by now. But you guys are not alone in this. Jesus said he would give you another comforter. Amen? In Acts 1:8 it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." The word means martyr. Jay, where's Jay? Yeah, there you are. Jay, it means martyr. You are going to be a martyr unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You are going to get filled with power from on high. You're going to be so changed, so transformed, so anointed by the glory of God that I'm going to put myself in you. And the Holy Spirit that you got on the birthday when you got in, this is going to be greater than that. It's the same thing, but it's just more of it, you guys. And I'm going to baptize you in this great Holy Spirit. I'm going to make you a witness that overcomes everything in this life, everything in this world. And dear God, it's for every single human being that ever is called by God. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, and it is for you, your children, and your children's children. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I just wonder if God could find a few people that he could consecrate unto the will of God to where they would open the word of God and become what that is, and they would ask, Lord, for the same baptism that R.A. Torrey and Charles Finney and D.L. Moody and B.H. Clendenin and hallelujah, David Wilkerson, and the men of God, hallelujah, that have turned the world upside down. Hallelujah, John Wesley, George Whitefield, hallelujah, the reformers. If, dear God, he could find another Jenny or a Caleb Trimble that would tap in to the very word of God, and you, like an Indiana Jones, you would be searching this thing out. You'd be looking in grandpa's journals. You'd be trying to figure out the greatest puzzle piece of all human history, the greatest thing in the word. How do I get there? How do I get, amen? Where can I go to find it? Where is this thing that Jesus has promised? The light of the world has promised me something, an endowment of power, and I can use this to live my life, hallelujah, for the glory of God. And he receive all the glory, not me, but he receive all the glory. Amen. That should be the passion of every single Christian that ever gave their heart and life to Jesus. There should be a burning in that spirit to be drawn closer to Jesus Christ than ever before in their life. Amen. And dear God, we need this power if we think we're going to walk, hallelujah, in the Holy Spirit. They asked somebody, one pastor, they said, "Do you need the Holy Spirit to go here or there?" And he said, "I wouldn't want to go to the post office without the Holy Ghost." Amen. You need the Holy Spirit every day in your heart and in your life. And how desperate this pastor is for the Holy Spirit. Because I cannot stand up here and myself. And if I do, you know it very quickly. If I'm not anointed and there's no anointing on me, it's dead religion. Amen. It'll produce condemnation. And it'll just produce, it'll fog up the place. But if the Holy Ghost can touch me, and if he can touch you, and ultimately, can he touch you? If the Holy Spirit can touch you, he can turn the world back to God. Amen? He can turn the world back to God. God's not done. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen? Jesus said, greater things would you do when he went to be with his Father. And if Christ lives in us, dear God, then we are literally a human edition of the living Christ. I'm not Jesus, but I'm a follower of Jesus. Amen? I'm a human edition of what Christ put on this earth. I am a born-again man. I have the divine nature within me. And that better count for something in this life. Amen? And a spirit-filled man and woman, hallelujah, will change the atmosphere every time they walk into the room. Amen? Now listen to this. If you don't believe me, I want to tell you something that really happened. You with me? A guy named Harold Bigfire in the reservation at Macy. One night, I was sitting on Dad's porch, living at Dad's house, driving Dad's pickup. I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to sit on the deck and eat a burger tonight. And I put my hands on a Ford F-150, just like this. And I grabbed the wheel just like this. And I said, Lord God, send me to that person that is closest to hell. I remember it. And I drove to Walled Hill, where we had interest in Walled Hill. Pat Phillips, Karen Kemp, there were people from Walled Hill we were inviting to my dad's house at that time. And I just hungry to see somebody saved. Hungering. And I drove to Walled Hill. There was a football game going on there. I just drove around. I'm like, Lord, is this it? Is there somebody in the audience or something I have to walk up to and talk to about Jesus? I didn't feel anything. You know, I just didn't feel any leading. So I just drove to Macy. Remember, it was an evening. It was like 6:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night. I'm alone. But there's something that God's doing in me. And I got to that rest home up on the hill in Macy, been there a lot of times. And as soon as I got out of the parking lot, I'm like, oh God, I'm crazy. But I'm walking in there. There may be somebody. And I get there, and it's like the ER, just like in a movie. And it's like the doors open like this. And then they said, are you a minister? Are you a pastor? Because there's somebody that needs you in here. And they're like, sucked me in like this. And I'm like, oh Lord. And they just grabbed me by the hand and they brought me into this room. And in this room was this guy named Harold Bigfire. He looked like my grandpa Trimble, except he had a buzz cut, built the exact same way. They had amputated his leg. And he had diabetes. And guess what? He was laying on his side and there was slop coming out of his, you know, saliva coming out of the side of his mouth. And there was two weeping daughters there. And they were saying, he needs Jesus. He needs the Lord. And I got down right there next to him, and I led him to the Lord through the sinner's prayer. Amen. But as I got, I said, can you hear me? And he was just nodding and blinking his eye. And I knew he could hear me, and I just led him to the precious arms of Jesus Christ. But in that moment, I felt like if this was the roof, I felt like light just burst into the room like this. Amen. And I saw it hit on that woman's face, that daughter's face. And I saw it hit on the other daughter's face who were weeping and crying. And I literally witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ come and touch that man and heal that man. And not heal him physically, but he healed his soul. Amen. And that man got born again in that very moment. And I witnessed it because I had prayed a prayer, dear God, send me that person close as hell. I talked to my friend Pat Phillips later that day. The next day. I think it was in church on Sunday morning. She said he went to be with the Lord at midnight that night. But that's not all, church. I went to a man named, a friend named Travis Halstead. Everybody knows Travis, right? Yep. Travis said, my dad doesn't know Jesus. He's been raised in Catholicism. He needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I prayed, sought God. Walked into the Wisner Manor, whatever it's called down there. Preach to him, explain that it's not about works, it's about Jesus. Amen. And the exact same thing happened. His countenance changed. He was turned around and he was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then just the last year, a year or two ago, William Denny, Amy Wilson Starnes, you guys, they're praying over in Grand Junction. Aaron, he's in Omaha. He's in a hospital. He's in the ICU, and he's going to die. He doesn't know Jesus. He's professed something, and I walk into that place. I'm going to tell you, I went to that prayer chapel. I began to pray and seek the face of God until the glory just filled me, until the glory was all over me. They were praying and over there, and they were saying, Aaron, this is his last chance. And I walked into that room, and the whole countenance changed. Confusion was broken open. It was bound in the name of Jesus. He received Jesus Christ into his heart, and that euphoric spirit came in there. The glory of God came in there. And for the next week or two, he lived another 2 weeks. He told everybody about Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, he told the whole. Amen. Amy's mom and dad, and as a testimony to the whole family. And all I'm saying is I walked in there with somebody that they didn't have. I walked in there with Jesus Christ holding my hand, amen, dragging me along, leading me by the Holy Ghost, and he saved every single one of them, amen, by the glory of God. This thing is real, what I'm telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God some praise in this house. So if Christ is in you, dear Jesus, if Christ is in you, he wants to take this to wherever you go and turn the world around there where you live, amen. This isn't just for me. It's not just for Clinton or Stephanie. It's for every single one of us. Amen. Hallelujah. We've seen cancers healed. We've seen esophaguses stretch out and reach. We've seen arms be healed to where they can be lifted again. Women with breast cancer have been healed. I've seen guys, I'll never forget this in Decatur. This man's eyes were as twisted and cross-eyed, and I prayed with a Methodist preacher. I remember this, and I said, let's just pray for him. The Methodist preacher said, let's take him to the ER. I said, can we please first pray? His eyes just went like this when we started praying. The Methodist preacher said, how'd you do that? And then he said, I suppose you think it was because of your prayer. And I said, I suppose I'm thinking it was because of this Jesus. And he was healed right there instantly on the spot. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. We've got to believe that Jesus is real. Amen. We've got to know that he's real. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God that he's blessing. I know God can send people from St. Louis. Amen. I know God can call me up on the phone the other day from York and say, can we just send you a check? We see the work that you're doing in West Point, Nebraska, and we want to bless you. Amen. Do you think God's alive today? Do you think he's going to help you and save you and redeem you and give you provision because he's Jehovah Jireh? Amen. Hallelujah. Did you know that Lutherans are sending us a box because they hear us on the radio over by Omaha and they send us all these really, really good things? Amen. Unbelievable. Why does that happen? It's the very favor of God. Amen. That a man shows up from Cherokee, Iowa here that's listening to us in Western Iowa. Or that a guy pulls up from Boone, Iowa. I don't know him from Adam. Amen. But dear God, he saw us on a Facebook deal and said, and guess what? They just started a church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Bill Casey's starting a church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Did you know people are watching what we've done here and they can't explain how it worked or how it happened? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There was a California woman that moved into Wisner. She came to this place and she said, she sat right there where Blake's sitting. And in two services, she said, the Holy Spirit showed me that that's the man that's been praying for revival in the Midwest. God showed me. And I about fell over. And I'm sure everybody's praying, not just me. But she said, that's the one God showed me. You guys, how does this happen if it's not about miracles? Miracles, miracles. Can I say, somebody say miracles? Can somebody say provision? Hallelujah. Can somebody say grace? Amen. I want to tell you this, that there has been times in where we didn't have it. Amen. And I said, Sarah, there will be a $500 check in the mailbox. And guess what happened when she went out? And I was just like, oh, Lord, you better do something now. Because she's walking out to the mailbox. Guess what was in the mailbox? Oh, God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's Jesus. Amen. I've seen God give us 10 grand from my grandma Elaine. All four boys got about 10 grand one year. And I see God take that 10 grand and make it last a year. In the infancy of this church. How does that happen? Well, the shoes never even wore out when they were 40 years in a desert. Amen. Hallelujah. I've seen on the eve of our marriage, my wife's cousin Tara get radically saved as a testimony to God. Amen. Matt and Janet, you remember those days. Amen. She came to Christ and it was an unbelievable. I've seen Wendy Bauer give her heart and life to Jesus Christ in this place. Amen. I've seen Ray Mankey. He says, nobody ever told me this before. Amen. Get radically saved here. I've seen Marty and Mary get filled with the Holy Ghost in my living room. Along with about 30 other people getting filled with the fullness of God. I seen Scott and Julie Kranz. Scott and Julie Kranz had $2 and they were going to buy a dilly bar. And they showed up at the Dairy Queen in West Point. They saw a poster on the side of the wall. It said Revival, Daryl Sutton or something like that. They said, what do we got to lose? Drugs, alcohol, dancing, strip clubs. They haven't got us anywhere. They came there and got radically touched by the Almighty One. Church, I'm talking about being full of God. I'm talking about being led of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about God bringing a Steve Sweater, a Michael Kirch. Somebody give me an amen. I'm talking about God bringing a Joe Clark from Neely, Nebraska, and the testimony of Joe coming into this house and blessing this church in the ways that he has. I'm talking about Sam Kirch getting prayed for. Sam Kirch saying, I don't know if I'll ever be able to have children. Well, look at her lap right now. Amen. Give God some praise in this house. Hallelujah. I remember praying for that. I remember putting my hand on that womb and God touched it and opened it. Hallelujah. We were all praying. Hallelujah. No glory to me, but glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember Marianne Peterson. Where are you at? I'm glad you're here today. Coming to a ball field, and Tony Bork coming to a ball field, and the knee, what do they call that ball field down there, friend? The Nielsen deal. And we can't get rid of you ever since. Amen. I thank God for everybody that God has allowed to come in here and be filled. I thank God that He's allowed us to preach to the natives in our lifetime, the Hispanics, and the whites. I thank God for more whites. Amen. Amen. That He's sending. Hallelujah. And this is all preparation for what God is doing in this hour, church. Everything that God's worked in your life, good, bad, or ugly, is for the glory of an almighty God, that He would receive glory out of you. I thank God for Roger and Deb. I thank God for Mary and Marty and Joe and Melissa. And I thank God for new people like Jay and Tony that have just come into the place and have a desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. To be full of God and not to be afraid of the things of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I thank God for new converts and Sadie wanting to be water baptized. Come on, church. Amen. I'm thanking God, hallelujah, that God's not done with our kids yet. My little girl, Caitlin, got saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost just a few months ago in this out of Colorado. Amen? And God wants to come in and touch every single one of our little ones and bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants us to have fresh anointings, to break out in new locations, Jay. Hallelujah. And to move in by the Holy Spirit in this hour. And I just want to tell you that if the Holy Spirit is alive in you to magnify Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Jesus will do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. Amen. Do you believe that today in this hour? The Bible says, in Him was life, and life was the light of men. In Him was life. Jesus, there was life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a divine fire to come upon us. We need this. Nothing gets attention like a fire. Nothing consumes like a fire. Fire eats up everything that is not Christ. A fire you need for sanctification and for purging. And I wanted to say, if God's going to get your attention, this is how He's going to do it. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 3. Exodus 3 and say, Dear God, I'm glad to be in the house of God. Dear God, I'm alert. Somebody say, I'm alert. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I want the Word. Amen. Amen. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now Moses kept his flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of, everybody say fire. Out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Isn't that interesting? And Moses said, I will now turn aside. Everybody say, turn aside. And see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. In other words, divine fire got this man's attention. Amen. Dear Lord, what's going on? This bush is alive, and that's what God wants to do with us. Every single one of us, He wants us to be living creatures on fire, but not burnt up. You see that? Living creatures on fire, but not burning up. Not consumed totally by this fire. Hallelujah. That was God's plan, was to raise up men and women that would be burning bushes, that would go everywhere. And when I heard Holy Ghost preaching for the first time, I saw Brother Clendenin preach this gospel. I'm telling you, I was done for. Dad, I would never be the same again. I got on that plane, I saw that preaching, and I still that is beside itself. This is the most radical thing I've ever... I saw truth incarnate preaching the Word of God, and it melted me. God spoke and the earth melted. My earth shattered at that moment, and I realized the only truth in this life, the only truth in this world, is the Word of God made real by the Holy Spirit, and it made Jesus Christ alive. Amen? Changed me. Changed me. I could never be the same again. I remember people saying, oh, this will last a year. This will last 6 months. Guess what? It's about 20 years ago when I got saved. Amen? And now I'm going to tell you, I pray to God that I have more fire today than I had then. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. But look at how this turns out. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called. Everybody say, God called. God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Hallelujah. And he said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. Hallelujah. Moses saw God. Moses felt the calling. God called unto him in verse 4. God was calling. He's calling unto you. And he's calling unto you. He's going to do it through the Holy Spirit. He's going to do it through the anointing, so you can't explain it any other way. Amen. It's got to be the anointing. He's going to turn a flashlight on in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to change everything about us. The Bible says that we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Everybody say Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is going to do something about you that is going to baptize you in the power. It's going to take you through the veil into the Holy of Holies. And it's going to baptize you in the love of God. The love of God. This Holy Spirit will keep us in the love of God. Right? It'll cause us to love our neighbor. It'll cause us to love our friends. It'll cause us to love even foes, even enemies. How could we love an enemy? But yet this love is so supernatural, so beyond, that God will baptize us in this. He'll give us a heart for the things of God. Has that happened to you yet? Amen. In this place? Do you have a love for people? Do you have a love for the brotherhood? Do you have a love for the things of God? One thing I will inquire of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house all the days of my life. Amen. This love will produce this glory about us that never fails, the Bible says. Never fails, and allows us to do things that are impossible. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. But these three, but the greatest of these is love. And then faith works by love, the Bible says in Galatians. So love comes from God, but it's brought about by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A spirit baptism into the love of God. Into the grace of God. Into the power of God. Into the glory of God. How many people need that or want that in their life? Another touch from God. To be moved of another spirit. Amen. To be in this life. But to be changed and transformed by the glories of God, so that we can touch this world in a way that needs to be touched. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Amen. So I've been testing my love for 52 weeks with the Whites. I tell you what, it's brought everything out of me. But the love of God cannot be hidden. You either know if we have love or not. And I know if you have it or not. Amen. I want you guys to see in this passage, Exodus 3, verse 7. Exodus 3, verse 7. Why you're called. Why you're called. Dustin and Cheyenne, I want you to know why you're called. John, this is why you're called. Verse 7. I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. Verse 8, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Why was he called? To deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. That's the world. And to bring them up out of that land into a land, a good land, a large land flowing with milk and honey. Look at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come to me. I've seen their oppression. Verse 10. Now come therefore, and I will send what? I'm going to send you, Clinton. I'm going to send you unto Pharaoh, and you're going to stand in the gap for these people. And dear God, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of where? Out of Egypt, out of this world. So why was Moses called? Why? He was called to be a deliverer. You're called to be a deliverer. That's the calling on your life. You are here to be the rescuer. You're here to be the hands that reach out to the campus and the high school and the workplace where you're just going into work. This is exactly why you're there. It's not for a paycheck, you guys. Hallelujah. Yes, you're going to clean houses. Yes, you're going to be a post office. Yes, you're going to be a farmer. But you're the light of the world. Amen. Ye are the light of the world. And God's called you to be a deliverer, just like a Moses. And church, we live in the most dangerous times that there's ever been on planet Earth. Amen? Perilous times in the last days. And yet God is calling men in this hour full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, to stand up, to proclaim and to be deliverers and to turn people from Satan and Pharaoh and to stand in the gap and lead them to Jesus Christ in this hour. Hallelujah. That is the reason you've been called. That's the reason you're born again. And that's what Jesus is doing to the people that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Hallelujah. John 12:46 says, I'm come a light into this world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Hallelujah. That means he's here to deliver you from your sins. That you wouldn't live there anymore in habitual sin. That you'd keep. Remember before you got saved? You were bound by all these things. God wants to set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Early in the Bible, he says, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw the light. It was good. And God divided, he divided the light from the darkness, night and day. Amen. And what we've done is we've taken black and white, and we've mixed it and made this gray color, and we live in the gray. We've got 50 shades of gray running everywhere in this country. Time to get back to black and white. And I believe what God's doing in this moment is making everything black and white. He's making the church black and white. Amen. He's exposing, he's sifting, he's seeing everything. He's laying down the idols of this earth. Did he not do that? He shut down everything. He says, are my people going to worship me now? Are my people going to worship me now? Are they going to worship their idols in the land of the living? Are they going to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Because I am the light of the world. I'm a jealous God, and there will be no other gods before me, he says. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more passage before we get out of here today. 1 Kings 18. Now you got a man named Elijah. He's coming on the scene. And I believe this is the real ministry of the end time, the Elijah ministry. Elijah's going to stand up to Jezebel. Amen. Jezebel had killed everything. She had killed the prophets. She was moving through Ahab, a little limp-wristed man, okay? And she was trying to do and lead the whole charge. And guess what? God raises up an Elijah. Elijah comes. And he says, how long? In verse 21, 18:21. 18:21, I'll let you catch up. Look at this. Elijah comes to all the people. He says, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? Two mixed religions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal is God, if the idols of the Baal culture and the flesh is God, then follow him. And I believe that's a word in this hour to the church. And the people answered him not a word. They're like, ooh, this guy's real. This guy ain't playing. Then Elijah, in verse 22, said, I remain a prophet unto the Lord. But look at this. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. I believe somebody said this morning, but the false prophets are outnumbering the true 450-1. You see that? Today it's probably worse odds than that. He says, so go, 23, so go get some bullocks. And Elijah's message here, go get the bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves. Cut it in pieces. Lay it on the wood. And I wish I had time to grab one of you guys and lay you down on some wood here. Cut up the bullocks. Make the sacrifice, James. Lay you down here on some wood, okay? What do you think this is a type of? And put no fire under it. I'll provide the fire. I'll dress the other bullock. And he says, let the God that answers by fire. In verse 24, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And the people said, this is well spoken of. Wow, this is interesting. No fire? And he said, you call on the names of your gods, and I'll call on the names of mine. Go to verse 30 for sake of time this morning. We need people that are going to repair an altar in this hour. The altar's broken down. Look at verse 30. Elijah said to all the people, come unto me. Come unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar. Everybody say, repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. 32, and he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Every ministry that's going to pioneer a ministry is going to rebuild an altar. I hear Tony and I hear Jay talk about it. You guys have plowed for 10 years here, and you guys have allowed there to be liberty in this house. I didn't realize it till you started to speak that out loud. Look at 33, and he puts the wood in order. Are you with me? He's preaching the cross here, you guys. He's putting the wood in order. And he cuts the bullock and puts it on the pieces. Puts the pieces on and laid it on the wood. And he starts, fill four barrels with water. Pour it. In 34, do it a second time. And then do it a third time. Pour the water of the word and the water of the living water of the Holy Spirit all over this sacrifice that's laying on the altar. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, which Jesus said, when Jesus said, it is finished. And he became the sacrifice of all sacrifices. You guys, he was preaching the cross. He was preaching the blood back then. Amen. He was preaching a sacrifice that is us. Amen. And that was Jesus ultimately. He was preaching the cross and Jesus crucified. The water ran down the altar. In 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering, of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I want to say something. That whole laundry list of things that happened, all those things have been done at God's word. Amen. Every single miracle that's ever taken place, every single person that came to life and the ceilings opened up, every single person, the radio, all these things that have ever opened up for us to be able to preach, happened at God's word. Amen. God gets all the glory. Amen. Look at this. But God, he says, hear me in 37, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And what happened in 38, Matt? It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. The wood, the stones, the dust licked up all the water that was in the trench. And then it says, and when the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Did you see how the fire falls on the sacrifice, which is Jesus? Look at that. Did you see how it licks up everything and consumes everything? The anointing comes down on the truth. Amen. Saturates it, burns everything up. Then he says, go kill the 450 false prophets. Slay them. Whoa. Where's the love and the grace and the mercy here? Dear God, God sees the mess of religion in this hour. And he calls you in the spirit of Elijah to do something radically about it. To stand up, and without the God that answers by fire, not strange fire, real fire, we have no power. But if that God still exists and we can tap into that God and he's still baptizing people with the Holy Spirit, amen, then he's still empowering the indwelling Christ within you, then nothing can be impossible to you in your ministry as you move out in the power of God, fully filled with the fires of an almighty God, amen, to do exactly what he's called you to do. Hallelujah. Like a fire shut up in your bones, God will take you to the ends of the earth to preach this gospel with an unction to bring glory back to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He said that he would receive glory as you do the works for God. Amen. He wants to receive glory from your life as it's laid down. And in Romans 12, he sums it all up. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hallelujah. You guys, it just gets better and better and better as I read the word. The greatest victories are yet ahead. The greatest revivals are yet ahead. I read the end of Malachi and it said, guess what? When we come back down from heaven, from the marriage supper of the Lamb, we are going to tread all over every enemy that ever stood against us. Anything that's ever bothered you in this life, anything that's ever stood against you, you're going to come riding a white horse back down to earth, following Jesus Christ. And I'll read you this. The scripture. It says, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day of God's wrath." Ashes under your feet. Anybody got a problem right now? Maybe you do. Guess what? It's going to be ashes under your feet. It's be like you putting out a cigarette butt. Dealing with it once and for all. God doing it for you, but you with Him crushing the enemies of your day. Dear God, does that not encourage? And He says in that same passage, I'm in Malachi 4:3, He says, "And I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet one more time." Do you know Elijah's coming back? And the world's going to see Elijah? Mid-tribulation, the two witnesses, amen. He says, "I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And in verse 6, Malachi 4:6, "And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Dear Jesus. Oh, I don't have time to go in John the Baptist. I probably don't have time to go into his ministers or a flaming fire. I probably don't have time to go into the tongue of fire that we saw on the day of Pentecost that turned the world upside down. Hallelujah, tongue ablaze with truth and holiness and righteousness and anointing which come down from God. A church that turned the world upside down. A tongue that caused the fearless men of God to stand up and pray and do unthinkable, unshakable things for God. I probably don't have time to talk about people that aren't demon-possessed, but they were God-possessed of the Holy Ghost and began to change the world in which they lived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is the gospel, Caleb, that saved my soul. Dad, this is the gospel that changed my life. It was the anointed gospel of the Holy Ghost, Matt. Hallelujah. I believe it changed Wesley and Whitfield and Fox, and I believe it'll change White and Maxie and Clark and Kirch and any man that dares walk in this. Amen. Amen. Langenberg, I believe it'll touch everything. Everything it touches, it'll smoke. Hallelujah. Jesus spoke and the earth melts. Hallelujah. I believe it changed the Apostle Paul that saw a great light and Jesus revealed himself and gave Paul a purpose. Close with this scripture. Go to the book of Acts. Acts 26. I want to put this out there to Clinton White. You guys read it with me. You remember the light that came from heaven above the brightness of the sun and knocked Saul off his donkey and caused a conversion experience where Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" in verse 14. And in 15, he says, "Lord, I'm Jesus who you persecute." For this purpose, he's called Matt Trimble and Blake Meyer and Caleb. Caleb, I want you to start walking in this. Mark Trimble, I want you to start walking in this. Look at this. 16. "The reason you've been called, your purpose on earth, but rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness." J. Maxey, "both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, to deliver the people in Festus and from the Gentiles to whom I now send thee." I'm going to deliver you and then I'm going to send you back to them. 18, "to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith." Church, this is your purpose too. It wasn't just Paul's, it's all of ours. Amen? Look at the very next verse. 19, "and I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling, vision." Church, you're the ministers of the new covenant. This is your purpose. This is your calling.